Welcome to the Detail Solutions Podcast. My name is Alex Russell, and I am your host. So Jason's not joining me tonight, so we're going to breeze through this introduction so I can get to my guest. I'm excited to talk to them. So the website, thedetailsolutionspodcast.com, is going to have everything that you need, all the links to find where to listen to us, where we are on social media, all that fun stuff. We also have our preferred vendor page, and that's going to be for our wonderful ad partners. It's going to give you a about their brand. It's going to have a discount code for you to use and then a button to click that'll take you right to their website. You can purchase your products, use that coupon code, save yourself a little bit of money, spending money with them, then they'll spend money with us, and then we'll bring you the funny. So hashtag money, money, funny. We also have the merch store on there, t-shirts, hats, hoodies, all that fun stuff. To the person who bought a hoodie last week, thank you. Appreciate it. It's awesome. We are live on YouTube every Wednesday and Friday with these. So if you want to catch us on YouTube, just check out the Detail Solutions Podcast on YouTube. Please like, share, follow, subscribe, hit the notification button so you can get that alert when we do go live on YouTube. And what else we got? Oh, we finally got the code for SDC. So if you're planning on going to SDC, the Southern Detailers Conference, in the first weekend in June, the code is DSP15. Save you 15%. Carry on that tradition from MTE to SDC. We will be there. Jason and I will be there. We'll have our own booth. We'll be podcasting live the whole time. So if you're going, it'd be great to see you guys. Come pop by the booth. We'll have you jump on. We'll talk to you guys and gals. And the last, I guess, bit of information is the Gloss University training. They've got dates out for the Gloss University advanced training class, which is April 29th through the 30th in Anaheim, California. And then they are doing something new this year with the Gloss University kind of 101 or intro, where they're doing a couple of single day classes. And those options are either September 30th or October 1st. And that's going to be in Utah. But please go to glossuniversity.com to check out all that information, be able to purchase your seats for the class and all of that fun stuff. So lastly, please like, share, follow, subscribe, hit the notification button anywhere where you're listening to this podcast. If you're on Apple or Spotify, please leave us a 5-star review. It just helps, just like when your clients leave you a 5-star review for your business. Anybody else who is listening to detailing or automotive related podcasts, the more 5 stars or the more reviews that we get, just kind of puts us into the, hey, you also might like listening to these guys. All right. So we are going to knock out our commercials, a couple of them, and we'll be right back with our guest, Mr. Matty Arndt. We'll be right back. Website, but you don't know where to start? Detailers Roadmap can help. Their websites are designed for detailers and have all the features you need to convert visitors into lifelong customers. It's easy to use, affordable, and they'll even write and design the website from start to finish. So accelerate your auto detailing business's growth and increase online visibility with Detailers Roadmap's bespoke digital marketing services. You'll rank high on search engines and increase PPF, ceramic coating, and tinting sales. Contact Detailers Roadmap today to schedule your free discovery call. And make sure you tell them you heard about it here on the Detail Solutions Podcast to receive your discount.
On a detailing business, you need Car Supplies Warehouse. We offer tested and proven solutions to keep your business running strong. We offer wholesale memberships, in-person training, and the best chemicals, products, and tools all in one place. Go to carsupplieswarehouse.com and use code SOLUTIONS for 15% off. Code is valid for one-time use only. Some restrictions may apply. Go shop now on carsupplieswarehouse.com.
All right, and we're back with Maddie. How you doing, buddy?
Pretty good, Alex. How are you, brother?
Man, I am good. It's Friday night, knocking out a podcast.
I love it. Happy Friday to you, man.
Yeah, man. Happy Friday to you, too. So,
hey, didn't you just recently have a birthday?
Last Friday, I had a birthday.
It was St. Paddy's Day?
St. Paddy's Day is my birthday.
Well, happy birthday to you, man.
Thank
and it's
you,
the,
man. I appreciate it, that.
It's a milestone, right? Did I see that right? Is it
Big Fitty?
50 years old.
Yeah. Wow.
Happy birthday to you.
This baby face. You know?
It's baby face.
Yeah.
Alex, the detailing career has been good for you. You're aging well.
It has, you know, and, I'm getting to that age where I might have to start using some skincare products. So maybe, I don't know if you've caught the news.
No, I didn't catch the news.
Oh, you didn't catch the news? So yeah. I put a thing out on our discussion page today. So the guy who was in charge of social media social media influencing, he was the social media influencer manager for Manscaped when we did the whole Manscaped thing.
Okay.
He's now left and he is doing the same job at a company called Caldera Lab.
Awesome.
They make skincare products for men.
Okay.
So he reached out and said, "Hey, Alex, I'm at this new company. Would love to get some of your, or love to get your updated numbers and maybe see if it's a fit."
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I sent him numbers and he said, "Here's what we'd like to do." Kind of the same deal he did with Manscaped. He's like, "We'd love to offer you, in exchange for 1 month, ad space, we'd like to offer skincare products for you and your co-host."
Cool.
"And if you get certain amount of code usages," we got to get 6. He's like, "Then we'll do a long-term deal."
Sure.
So I was like, well, you know, I'm thinking to myself, like, you know, skincare, you know, are people really going to want it? Like I don't want to just do it for a month. Right.
Right.
And then,
right,
then be like, sense. "Oh yeah, you only got like three sure. codes, like whatever." Like if I'm in it, like I want sure. a partnership. I want to make sure that we're going to make it past the month. We're going to build yep. a partnership and we're going to go. So I posted up on our discussion page and kind of said, you know, "I'll leave it to you guys. You guys vote it, you know?" And it's funny. I've already got like 3 or 4 reply or 5 reply. I mean, we might actually have 6 people that are already like, you know, "I'll buy it if you guys do it," kind of thing. So yeah, so you know, and
cool.
And the cool thing about it is if we end up doing it, Jason and I will do a live podcast and a full reviving mask the whole time. I think.
Okay. Well, that's I was gonna say, like, where you guys would like put on the skincare products, like you apply it to each other's faces.
No. We won't do that. But one of the products is a reviving, you know, like almost like a mud mask kind of thing or whatever.
Sure.
And we'll put sure. that on and do a podcast or with that. But
that would be really cool. Yeah, oh my yeah. God.
So you know, at 50, I might have to start taking care of my skin a little bit. Maybe we'll do a skincare
thing. I love it.
I'm leaving it up to our listeners, you know. So if you haven't seen the post on the discussion page, the Detail Solutions Podcast discussion page on Facebook.
I love it.
Go there, find the post. I'll pin it, actually. I'll pin it. You guys can go and comment if you think we should do a skincare line.
No, that's exciting. It's cool to do something different, too.
And the thing that's kind of neat is the fact that this guy was, you know, he was the one that gave us the shot at Manscaped, and then now he's with another company, and you know, is willing to do it again with us, you know?
So yeah.
He was thinking about us and reached back out and all that stuff. So that makes me kind of feel pretty good, you know,
it's
about
a good relationship you got there.
Exactly. Exactly. But listen, people don't want to hear us talk about skincare. They want to hear us talk about you. So, you know, the first question I ask everybody, Matt, how, where, when, why did you get into detailing?
Dude, you know, it's a mouthful. I mean, I don't really know why. I mean, maybe it was just more fate or chance on how all that stuff started. But you know, I've always been a car person and into cars, and detailing and keeping cars clean was something that just kind of came out of a high school job. You know, I mean, I talked about this story a lot in the last couple of years, and you can hear kind of in detail on the other podcast platform and other, you know, I've talked about it on YouTube and different things, but essentially my whole background in car care started working for a car dealership.
Okay.
Back in the 90s. That's really what lit my fuse. I was working for a, in high school, I was in the work program when we actually had automotives in high school. Yeah. And our teacher, Mr. Serino was his name. He had a gentleman come in from the car dealership and talk about, you know, possible opportunities as, you know, working for the dealership, kind of through the work program, starting at the bottom, you know, multiple different jobs, but primarily technician work, right? And they were kind of screening people for technicians, but luckily I was able to get into the program and I started working for the car dealership as a porter. And that job was like the best. I think back to that job and how much fun it was back in the 90s before smartphones and the internet, it really took off, and like how much connection and camaraderie we had as you know, porters working in the dealership. And I think, you know, at that time it was really cool because, you know, the service departments in the dealerships in the 90s, they would all open for service at 7 a.m.
Yeah.
And they would shut down around 4 or 5. And my job as a porter, as a part-time guy, you know, I worked basically 4 till 9. And we were doing a lot of spot deliveries and fleet prep and that type of stuff. But what was cool, and something I remember the most now, is like the mechanics would leave the dealership and it was just the porters. You know, it was a crew of 5 or 6 of us that worked part-time. And so we pretty much had the whole dealership to ourselves.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? In the evening. And we got to do some of the coolest stuff, man. I mean, like, I wish I had more photos and analytics and just stuff, the chaos that we did from back in those days. But, you know, it was crazy because we didn't have machines. We hand-washed all the cars. And at that time, it was the dealer I worked for was Pontiac, Hyundai, and Honda. And I was really heavily involved on the Pontiac side, you know, when it was popular.
Yeah.
And we had a fleet program through Mary Kay and all these other car companies. And we would prep on average, it was a double digit number, you know, 14, 20 cars a night sometimes, you know, like, and new car prep at that time was basically taking the plastic off the seats, cleaning the glass, washing the car, dressing the tires. Like, so, you know, it was more of like, maybe what we call a maintenance detail these days.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Right. So it wasn't like
maintenance wash, not even really a detail.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Maintenance wash. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, that's kind of where my love for car care was born, you know, from the experiences. But as I kind of matured at the dealership, I took on more responsibilities and became the manager and became in charge of snow removal. And before too long, I was hiring porter. I became the boss, you know, the kind of like the shop foreman for the reconditioning department. And so I wore a couple different hats, and I think that's what the name of you're calling this episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
The man wears many hats, but
yeah. Well, cause you do. I mean, I know you wear a detailer hat, you wear a musician's hat, you wear a training hat, you wear a podcaster hat. So So, you know, just fits in line.
It's true. It's totally true. But like in the dealer days, you know, one of the things, you know, like I'm a total snow lover. And one of the things I remember back in those days, when I got to work the plow truck, like my childhood house was really close to the car dealership. So like there was a convenience factor of like how easy it was to get to work. And I think that's as the dealer and these people I got to work with, as they got to know who I was, I think that's part of the reason I climbed the ladder a little bit there.
Okay.
Was because I was close and reliable. Right.
Yeah.
And so when we would get snowstorms, you know, I would take the plow truck home with me and show up in the morning and push the first passes so the mechanics could get into work and stuff like that. And it kind of in those days taught me, you know, accountability, responsibility, and commitment. You know, And I appreciate that now about like what it takes to follow through. Like if you tell somebody you're going to do something and there's a job that needs to be done, you get it done.
Yeah.
So, you know, and of so, course it was around cars.
That's kind of lost on the youth of today, it seems like. So
sure. I talk a lot about that and it seems to definitely be a big problem, but, for me in those days, there was a sense of, you know, like kind of fulfillment, gratitude, you know, I got the job done, you know what I mean? The business was allowed to continue operating that day because I was, you know, made sure that the lanes were cleared and the snow was removed. So like, I remember at that time when I had that responsibility, like I felt, you know, validated and like important, you know? And I really loved that job. And I honestly really didn't want to leave working for that place. But I also saw that like kind of the direction and Pontiac was kind of starting to go down the tubes at that time. And there was some of the mechanics were retiring from attrition and they weren't bringing, it's just like the whole environment and culture started to shift.
And it's not as much fun anymore.
And I kind of found a way out of working for the dealer, going to there was a local company that, you know, supplied us all the supplies for washing and prepping all the cars. You know, it's basically, you know, a truck, like a Snap-on truck, but for detailing, you know, it'd show up and I was in charge of ordering all those supplies. You know what I mean? So the 55 gallon drum of car wash and degreaser and all the bulk stuff that we used, and then all the smaller liquids and utensils and utilities and stuff, you know, we'd keep in the cabinet. I was in charge of ordering all that stuff for the dealers. So, you know, for all three stores at one point. It wasn't always that way, but I loved it on Mondays when Mike would show up in a truck, and like that was like as a detailer when the route truck shows up. And you get to go in the store and they got fresh microfiber towels on the truck.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, 5 gallons of this. And there's the scents in the truck. You're like, oh, you know, like, oh, I could really use one of these. And it's stuff you don't even really need, but you want it anyways.
Dude, I know exactly what you're talking about because, you know, my time at the car wash, like that was my job when I ran the detail shop. And even when I went into managing the store, you know, I would go, no. I'll go get the truck because I wanted to make sure because the detail manager, I mean, obviously when I became a manager, I realized like, you know, obviously there's, you know, we have to watch what we spend and we can't just be buying whatever. But yeah, you're right, dude. There's no better feeling than hopping on the back of that truck and be like,
totally. Oh,
what's that over there? That wasn't there. Like, oh, this is the new, you know, like, oh, well, I gotta try that then.
That's how it was. I mean, you know, I think the internet kind of ruined a lot of that, and we'll probably segue into that as this, you know, podcast advances. Yeah. But
I mean, they're still out there. I don't have them come by really my shop too much. I mean, the Auto Magic guy every now and then because they will fix my Rupes machines, and it's easier to give it to them. They take it off and bring it back a week later, and it's you know, I'm not having to go down and ship it off and put it, you know, do all that stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
Wait a few weeks for it to come from Rupes, but
sure.
But yeah, there's still a few of them around down here that'll do that, and you know, that is one of the things I kind of miss. But they don't. A lot of them don't carry a lot of the products.
Sure, you know, some of the boutique-y stuff. Yeah, and additionally. You know, nothing against you, but like on a smaller business, guys like us that, you know, like we don't move the needle enough for them.
No.
You know what I mean? And it's like
I buy a quart of something and it'll last me 6 months or whatever.
Right. You know? Right. The route truck's going to drive all the way across town and sell you $60 worth of stuff. You know what I mean? And you'll spend more than that in gas.
Yeah.
It's just like, exactly. I mean, and that's reality. So, I mean, that's why I was kind of half serious when I was saying the internet, you know, ruined all that stuff. But you know, that's so kind of going back to the whole dealership thing that I did, it was really kind of like laid the framework and the groundwork for me to step into doing route truck sales.
Yeah.
And I did that for 7 years with a small company.
Oh, wow.
And I was on the truck for almost 7 years. It was I forget exact early 2000s when I left the car dealership.
Okay.
It was in the early 2000s, and then I was I think it was 2002 I started working for ProFinish, and I was out in the field with those guys. Small family owned business, still in business today. They've been very successful with their business model. Okay. And I saw the writing on the wall. Like, I didn't want to be in the truck for the rest of my life. I didn't want to be driving across town. We joke and call it the ice cream man, I was ice cream man, like driving around hustling products. And I really today more than anything, Alex, I mean, truth be told, I appreciate that experience more than I can even really give it its value or credit, because like at that time, it's the time right before the internet really took off.
Yeah.
And so in those days, I was able to show up at a place of business and instantly provide value and be a problem solver.
Yeah.
And coincidentally enough, I was in the distribution portion of it for so long that, I was able to watch it change and watch how the internet, especially internet personalities, had changed the way we made decisions and purchased goods, right? Yeah. And that's really like, it's so complex, Alex, and we could go on forever about it, but that's what, I was in it for so long. And then part of the reason what wanted me to get away from selling detailing supplies over my career of doing it was because I got tired of having to compete with the internet for one on prices.
Yeah.
But I also watched what I feel like the morale of the people doing the job just also become degraded and lessened over time.
Yeah.
And it became a real problem for me because, as a sales guy, I was extraordinarily passionate about what I sold and was super into it, that when the people that were receiving the goods that I was selling them didn't respect it, I almost took it personally in those days.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And it became this fuel for me where I was just at a certain point, I just didn't want to do it anymore. I watched the industry change and, through the couple different avenues, but, it was a great experience, So selling to detailers, I tell this a lot now to people where I'm like, my career in auto detailing has allowed me to wear many different hats. Yeah. And because of that, like you called it this episode, and I would say that it's allowed me to view the industry through multiple different lenses.
Yeah.
And I think that part is really, really cool because, I've worked with manufacturers helping them develop products, right? Sitting at round tables, kind of talking about this and gathering data and saying, this is what we need to do. Then I've helped bring these products to emerging markets where I'm just like trying to integrate something new.
Yeah.
And seeing the pros and cons of this, what works, what doesn't. And so I've always said that, like, I felt like in my career doing that over time, I've became kind of like a consultant in a way. Is what it feels like.
Yeah, and especially like you said, when you're able to see it from multiple different angles, it definitely helps you go back and be able to talk to those manufacturers or those brands, because they're trying to develop something or whatever, and they're just looking at that one thing, trying to get it developed, and you can come in with different views and say like, okay, it's cool here, but it might not work here. It definitely won't work over here.
Oh yeah.
And you can help them kind of, figure out how they're going to present it to all the different sides. So yeah, that's awesome.
Well, sure. Cause in theory, when someone creates something, it's going to work. Right.
Yeah.
And then in reality, when you start using it in the real world and you're using it in different environments on different things, you start to see what it does well and what it doesn't do well.
Or you got people using it with the wrong this or the wrong that because they don't know any better. And then they're like, this stuff's garbage, And then it's like,
absolutely. Well, that was part of the problem, and it's in bigger businesses, especially like in wholesale detailing, where you have guys that are getting paid per car. you know, guys, yeah, everybody likes something a little different. So, you know, yeah, this guy likes the one that smells like bananas and the other one likes the one that smells like cherries. So yeah, they end up carrying three part numbers of the same thing just to make all their employees happy, which is great, right? But that's not good for your bottom line if you own a business. It's like, yeah, okay, we have to stock three different polishes that work the same way because each guy likes something different, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And that was definitely something I ran into at the car wash, you know, multiple times, because one detailer would like you said, the one thing that, you know, had a banana scent to it. And this other detailer would be like, yeah, but this one over here with the cherry scent does a better job. And it's like,
yep,
you know, that's where I was just like, look, I'm buying this one because I personally know it works. And if you guys can't make it work, then I'll find a detailer who will, you know?
Sure. Sure. No, it's so funny. You know, I talk about this stuff now. It's like, you know, it takes me back, because it's like I still feel like I am a young man at heart, but it's just like I've seen a lot and I've been involved in a lot. And sometimes I have to slow down and remind myself that, like, man, I had one customer that always used to say this to me. He's like, you know, your experience is like a chef letting you into the kitchen, right? Like, so I mean, in those days when I was out in the field, I mean, I used to see, you know, between 15 and 20 brick and mortar stops per day.
Wow.
You know, I mean, I was in the field every day.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about that, and I did these analytics, like right before I started Matthew Specialized Detailing, I averaged out the numbers, like at, I think I was averaged like 12 or 14 stops a day or something like that for, you know, for 17 years. That's close to 60,000 brick and mortar, you know, establishments. And a lot of them were reoccurring that big accounts I was into out of every day, but that type of, that type of experience or information you can't buy.
No,
you know?
No. And it's not just the stopping and selling them. It's the you know, building a communication or building a relationship and finding out, you know, again, how, you know, why that one detailer likes the banana flavored one more than the cherry flavored one. So the next stop you go to, you're like, you know, then you're like, oh, hey, well, if you're having an issue, you know, this banana one, you know, will do this or that, you know, based off of what I'm seeing at other places. So it definitely gives you more information and more field information, because you're talking to way more detailers than probably anybody to find out how those things on your truck work and work the best.
For sure, dude. It was the best. And like at that time in the early days, you know, I had their engagement. You know, I would show up I mean, my best customers were new car dealerships, because they're cleaning cars even on the rain days.
Yeah.
But, you know, car washes and detail shops, wholesale shops were cleaning cars for dealers. But, you know, in those days in the early 2000s, you show up in the route truck, like, you know, everybody would be like, oh, Matt's here. You know, the whole shop would stop.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? And like now, because of the internet, everyone's got, you know, like entertainment in their back pocket. So it's just like, oh, the truck's here. Like, who cares? You know?
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, it's funny because I kind of watched, and I talk about this a little bit, and I've mentioned this a lot over the last couple of years. I feel like I've watched how the internet had degraded or diluted my expertise, you know, because now, you know, a detailer that might work for a specific car dealership that is passionate about the craft, you know, they might connect with a YouTube personality or an internet personality that they, you know, connect with.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they fall on that level with them. And then now they've had this pre-existing relationship with Matt that's been coming around for a while. And I just became devalued. You know, they're like, dude, I like this guy. I was watching this video. Did you see the thing that he did? And it's just like, they're like, you, dude, you just hear what this round truck with these things and, you know, these colored liquids in these jugs. Like, you know, you were cool, but you're not cool anymore.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, unfortunately, and I'm very guilty of it too, because I like what I like, but the industry, I feel, and this is just my opinion, so whatever, is very culty. You know, you find that one thing that you love, and it doesn't matter if somebody comes out with something that's a little bit better or does the same thing for cheaper or whatever. It's like, nope, I'm this, I like this, I do that. You know, it's the only thing I use. And I think a lot of that, it kind of, I want to say, goes more to the brand or to the distributor and how they're treating people, because, you know, there's a lot of people out there who really take care of the people that use their stuff. You know, I mean, one of the big ones is Tommy with Angel Wax. You know, Tommy is, you know, there for everybody, kind of whatever. And
right.
And people love Tommy and use Angel Wax, I think, because of Tommy.
Yeah.
You know, not to say that they wouldn't, you know, otherwise, you know,
sure.
I think Davey's another reason. I mean, Dave's just such a good guy and a genuine guy, and, you know, and people love O'Burke because of what Dave does and what he does for the industry and things like that. So, you know, it's kind of very culty in a way. And I think that kind of goes to like what you're saying, especially when you've got an influencer or, you know, somebody's making, you know, really cool videos on YouTube and,
right.
you know, and like you said, you know, they get fall in with this person's videos, and then that's all totally. They want to use is what they're using. Yeah.
And I, again, I don't think that's bad.
No,
you know it's what I mean, not. But I just, as a way to provide for my lifestyle and my living, and I didn't want to have to compete with that anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I didn't want, like, and I saw that, like, you know, I'd always, you know, kind of because, you know, back in the dealership days when I worked for the dealership, I always did side jobs.
And yeah.
We always did, you know, so I'd always been involved with that. And then, of course, even when I started selling professionally detailing supplies, I would do that stuff on the weekend. And at that time, you know, essentially I got the detailing supplies for free.
Yeah. Right?
Or next to nothing. So yeah, exactly. It was really like just my time to do the work. And so product testing and detailing is something that I've been involved with since the 90s. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so when I threw all this stuff that I'm talking about with the route truck days, I ended up leaving that small company, starting my own little distribution business with my cousin. It was called actually Professional Cleaning Solutions.
Okay.
And I was kind of competed against my old company that I worked for.
Right.
Took some of my, you know, most of my clientele with me, ran that for about 2 years until we actually got approached by our local biggest competition, and they wanted to buy us out because we had exclusivity for a product line, and they, you know, there's a lot more to that story too. That's a whole nother podcast, but
yeah,
the short end of it is I ended up selling out to the competition.
Oh, nice. Right?
And yeah. I ended up going to work for the competitor. And I think that's where, like, my business skills kind of really shifted, because the business model was different in the early days. It was me in the truck, you know, the ice cream man selling from the truck. But then the later half of my career was like, I would see my customers in the car and I would, you know, punch in my orders from the iPad and they would get shipped the next day.
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool. But I feel like that's where the biggest shift came on the business side, because I started to work with a lot of bigger organizations, bigger dealerships that were buying more than just reconditioning supplies. You know, they were big dealerships that were buying all their shop supplies or janitor supplies or used car supplies. You know, all their, we would sell the stock stickers, the window tags, the dealer tags, all that stuff. Those were other, you know, add-ons that we would sell. So I ended up landing this really big account, and through a friend of mine, well, we became friends. He was a customer. He was basically the service director for a really profitable store, and the dealer, they owned nine car lines.
Oh, wow.
And through one of their meetings that they had, you know, an annual meeting, they wanted to basically consolidate. They looked at their books and they were saying, between these nine stores, we're spending too much money on reconditioning supplies.
Yeah.
And we need to cut our costs. And one of my customers threw my name in the hat and was like, if there's anybody that can do this, this guy can do it, you know? And I set out on this quest to try and get this dealer group to consolidate their part numbers. And it was probably the hardest project I've ever had to work on to this day.
Oh, wow.
Like, and it was also really challenging to get upper management to try to sync up with these people and or to sync up with their employees and accountability. And it was really hard because at the time, I think the nine stores between their nine locations, they were purchasing like 150 varying part numbers for auto detailing, which in my opinion is too much. Like, why can't we reduce that, you know, by half or more?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was a battle. It was a real, real struggle for me. And I used to have to meet with their CFO once a month and go and review reports and sit down and explain to him why each store was spending.
Why they were buying the banana and the cherry that did the same thing.
Yes. Yeah. And I just learned I learned a lot from that experience, and it kind of taught me, like, through that experience, it kind of showcased how little communication goes in these bigger organizations. Like, inside the dealership, you have these people, you have the guys in suits, and then you have the guys in the back, the detail guys cleaning up the cars, and they're not connected. The culture's off.
Yeah.
And then when there's a problem, no one wants to take accountability, and both parties are pointing fingers. They're like, oh, him, you know. Yeah. And then because I was the guy that sold them the stuff, I was the guy that always took the blame.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I had one of my customers. He really was became a really good friend. We're still good friends this day, but he always, you know, he used to always say, he said, Matt, you're the salesman of the century. He says, the problem is that you're selling everybody else's bullshit. Right? That's what he used to always say. And he's like, and then when the bullshit doesn't work, you're left holding the bag. And it really stuck with me because I was just like, you're right. Every time there's a problem and I go back to my, like, nobody wants to, like, I'm left fighting every battle on my own.
Right.
And I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore, you know? And so I've kind of like, and at near the end of my sales career selling professionally, I connected with a guy that was, you know, kind of more of like a boutique detailer and was doing corrections and coatings and stuff like that. And I remember bumping into him. And I didn't see him a lot. Cause, like, you remember you were talking like the route truck doesn't come and see you as much. He was already buying a lot of stuff online, and I didn't provide a lot of value for him, but he was on my path. So I'd stop and see him once a month, and he'd always, you know, buy a few things for me here and there. But I was in there one day and he was working on a C7 Camaro, Corvette, Z06 Corvette. He was doing a wheels off detail on it.
Okay.
And I show up on a Monday, and he's, you know, he's like, hey man, he's like, oh, I'm glad you're here. I need some puffing pads, blah, 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 blah. We're talking, and he's got the car in jack stands, and he's telling me, and he ends up telling me the price of what he's charging for this job. You're like,
what?
and I was like, wait, how? And he goes, yeah, I'm doing this one. He goes, I got another one later in a week. And I was like, and I remember driving there, like, and I was thinking, leaving there.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm like, okay, this guy's a good dude, and he's really passionate about what he does. And if he can do it, I know that I can do this.
Yeah.
You know, and I, after kind of like putting all this stuff together for me, like, I made the jump, you know what I mean? I stepped away from wanting to be in the sales role, and it was really hard. It was a really hard thing to do because I built a really big book of business in the area here over almost 20 years of being in the field.
Right, exactly.
And so that wasn't an easy, it wasn't an easy thing for me to do. You know, it was kind of like, I felt like in a way I was almost kind of like giving up or felt like I was defeated.
Yeah.
But I think it was really just it ended up being the universe pulling me in this direction, and it was all meant to be, you know?
Right. No, that's awesome.
It is a cool story, you know? Yeah. And it's like thinking back about it all, I've talked about it over on a few different podcasts over the last couple of years, and you can dive into detail on it later if you want, or DM me and ask me more questions about it. But it is pretty cool.
It's almost kind of the reverse of what you normally would hear, right? Because most guys are detailers first, and then when they kind of get older or fed up with it, or get to a certain level or whatever, they then go and work for the brands and become a a sales rep or, you know, a product tester or whatever, you kind of went the backwards route. You almost kind of started in a sense as the sales guy. And then went into the detailing. That's cool, man.
I think it's almost like full circle, right? Because I mean, I started cleaning cars in the driveway at a young age with my dad, and then it's just like, and so I'm kind of like getting back to where it all began. And that's why I said I've had the opportunity to wear a lot of hats and see the industry through different lenses. So it's the, like I said, you can't buy that experience.
Right.
You know? It's awesome. And it's been a lot of fun, you know? Yeah. And so, I mean, my friend that the same guy that gave me that advice about, you know, my friend that said I was the salesman of the century, it was the same one that was like, you know, he said, if you want to be successful, you'll find success in selling service instead of goods.
Yeah.
And that really stuck with me, especially now, because if you look at our industry, it's extraordinarily diluted.
Oh yeah.
With every kind of wax and polish and compound that like you don't like. I mean, thank God I have as much for you. Like, I fear being a beginner. Like a lot of you're right. Because if you're a beginner in the detailing industry and you have a passion or you're drawn in, like you don't know who to believe.
Yeah,
you don't know what to read. Like, and the truth be told, there's an extraordinary amount of amazing products.
Oh right now. Yeah, and a lot of them do all the same thing.
It's insane, and you know, and that's why it's like innovation. On these levels, like I remember how much research and development went into these products and how many months of testing, right? And sourcing raw materials. Like, you know, like as a detailer, sometimes I don't think we really kind of understand
how fortunate we are. Yeah,
right?
What goes on behind the curtain. We just you know, we don't want to see the pig get slaughtered, we just want to eat the hot dog.
Well, and I mean, one of like your, that's a good one. That's a good one. It's true because I remember when we were developing a specific sealant where, you know, we were trying to source silicones, and one of the silicones that was a key player in its performance was not able to be sourced. And so we had to source a B-line, and the moment that B-line silicone got in, you know, introduced into the formula, it changed the formula and the stuff would lock up on the paint. And the user experience changed the user experience. And it was just like, you know, like here's this one thing, you know, you have all these parts and you change one thing and the formula is like all of a sudden doesn't work.
That's I know. It's crazy. Like I had that conversation with Dave because I'm sure you've tried it. Dave's leather cleaner that he hasn't come out with yet that I wish he really would, 'cause I love it. But in the beginning he had some people, who didn't like the scent.
Uh-huh.
And so he's like, so in order for me to change the scent, I can't just go change the scent.
Correct.
Have to change the whole thing to change the scent. Otherwise it doesn't work right. And I was like, what? He goes, And I'm like, so tell all the people who don't like the scent tough shit, because I like the scent and you like the scent. And in my opinion, we're the only two people that matter.
Dude, that's so funny. Well, and I mean, on that note, you know, I shameless plug to David from O'Burke. You know, Dave is, he's super passionate about what he does. And, you know, he does things with intent.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And so it's like if there's already a pre-existing formula that, and any, whether it's a water emulsion or solvent-based, you know, polishes, liquids, waxes, all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's easy to change the color, change the scent, change the label. And it's like, hey, you know, we got Joe's wax over here now. But real innovation and real product development, like that could take a long, long time.
Yeah.
You know? And so, and I think that, you know, David knows that, and that's why he really does his homework and due diligence before he releases a product. He's not just doesn't want to pull the trigger and be like, okay, we're selling this now.
Listen, I've been using this leather cleaner for like at least a year now, and he's still kind of like, eh. And I'm like, just hurry up and come out with this shit already, man. Like, please, like, you know, or just sell it to me, whatever. Like, I love it. And he's like, when time comes.
Well, and it's right. It's a, you know, a small business. I mean, anybody that's listening, most of the people I think that listen to your podcast or the podcast in the detail world, it's a lot of small business, you know?
Yeah.
And small businesses, we know how cash flow goes up and cash flow goes down, and it's not easy to grow.
Yeah.
Right. Cause it's like to grow your business on any level takes a time commitment and a financial commitment too.
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, you want to grow, but like what we want to add this product, that product, and this product.
Yeah. What's going to make us money now so we can do.
Yeah. It's all relative. You know what I mean? And so, it's super cool over the years, my goal. And I know you've mentioned before, your numbers and how many cars you want to touch a year and stuff like that. And it made sense to me when I went out on my own, in the small town, it's a suburb of Chicago, but there's 35,000 people that live in our town, And I was like, those are pretty good odds. That's just like my town, but there's lots of bigger towns around. Like I could live 3 lifetimes and not even touch all the cars in my town,
Yeah.
And so I liked those odds. I like that's kind of what fueled me to jump in the service business. And you know what? Like, especially where we are right now and today in 2023, like being able to have all the professional experience I had in the world dealing with customers big and small, now that all those skills that I learned and people skills that I learned in the 17 years in the field as a sales guy, I can, execute now in my little small business. You know what I mean? Right. And so like, it's the customer experience.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't need to do volume and I don't need to be everything to everybody. I have a core group of people that trust me and a great network. And, now before you know it, I'm a little overwhelmed as we shoot this podcast, just about how much work I have on my plate for the springtime. There's a lot going on.
We were talking about that earlier. Well, listen, let's listen to you again real quick as you talk about some of Burke.
And, let's do it.
We'll be right back.
I love it. Now is your chance to try O'Burke's new rinseless wash and quick detailer. Additionally, you can save 15% by using coupon code DSP, all capital letters. This hyper concentrate can be diluted down for a rinseless wash and a quick detailer. It serves excellent as a clay bar lubricant and truly smells incredible. To find out more, please visit oberkarcare.com.
So tell us about your little wheelie journey you had yesterday. How'd that go?
That was
on the Viper chair.
I stole this Viper chair. A lot of people hadn't played with one, so I quite like the fact that they got a shot.
Nice.
A lot of guys were generally trying out going, these things are cool. But it was good fun, especially on this floor. Like, this is a legit carpet and all the cables, it just
rolls right over.
In its stride. Yeah, well done. It's a cool chair. I like it.
How comfortable are you right now?
Very.
Yeah.
So do you think retailers should invest in a Viper chair?
You know what? My name is Alan Metcalfe, and I would say go buy Viper.
Make sure to go to viperindustrial.com and at checkout, use the code DSP25 to save an additional $25 off your purchase. That's a stackable coupon, so whatever Viper's giving you off, get another $25 as well. All right, and we're back. For everybody watching this on YouTube, Jason hasn't gotten to a Viper screen or a Auto Fiber one that will run later screen. So we're working on it, man. We're trying to change the podcast. So I want to kind of switch gears a little bit. What most people might not know about you is you're a musician. You play in a band and you sing and play guitar and all that stuff. Like, when did that start? Did you pick it up as a kid? Or,
dude, music is a real big part of my life, and I take it seriously, and I still play, and I think between now and the end of the year, we have like 15 live performances, a couple big ones too.
Nice.
Music is, I feel like, auto detailing is an art.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's cool is auto, as on any level, whatever you do, it allows you to express yourself, and music has definitely been like a staple for me for a long time. I mean, I was growing up, I was always really musical and super into singing and performing. And truth be told, when I was really young, I kind of thought I'd be an actor.
Okay.
There was a little bit of that I thought might come to life one day.
Uh-huh.
But music always resonated with me. you know? And I think in grade school, I started playing the saxophone, and I ended up quitting playing the saxophone because of our music teacher. He was really kind of just a jerk. Uh-huh. And didn't he was old school, and he just didn't make it fun and entertaining. So I gave up on the saxophone pretty quickly. But when I was a kid, we used to go to the summer camp all the time, and there was a woman there, Lorena, playing, singing and playing around the campfire, and she was really beautiful and beautiful voice. And I remember that moment of like being captivated by her, like entertainment, right. Like the entertainment value,
right
of like how like everybody's chitter chattering and all of a sudden here's this person with a guitar,
yeah,
and everybody stops talking and then she's grabs everyone's attention. And you know, so I at that time, that was what kind of pulled me into playing the guitar.
Okay.
And so I was in, it's probably right around 12 or 13 years old when I started playing the guitar. So right into like seventh grade, junior high.
Yeah.
And, you know, I started out kind of self-taught in the early days, like the first year or two, I didn't take any lessons. And I learned a song on the guitar from my older brother's first girlfriend. She was an East Coast gal, and she taught me how to play the opening lines to Wish You Were Here nice. From Pink Floyd. And yeah. I was like, and then I was hooked. Right. Then in high school, I took a music class and I started taking private lessons from a private instructor.
Yeah.
Once a week he would come in. And so I had, you know, basically four private lessons a month. And, you know, the guitar was like my way to express myself. And, you know, as the years went by, I excelled at it and I got better at it. And before I know it, I connected with some friends in high school and, you know, was playing in a band and you know, just really had some of the best experiences and still am some of the greatest friends with that. There's a whole nother culture that exists in our market here with me, with the music, you know, all the musician friends that I right. have.
Yeah.
And, you know, my father taught school, Alex. My dad was a school teacher. And when I was getting out of high school, there was a part of me that actually wanted to be a teacher. And okay. I thought that I would teach music. I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm going to be a music teacher. I know this stuff really well and I'm passionate about it. But somewhere kind of like I kind of realized right before I graduated high school that like if I did this one thing that I loved so much to way to put food on the table at 5 o'clock. Like I felt like it would extract, like it wouldn't become my passion anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I'm where I stand today. I'm so happy I made that decision, because you look at schools, they've dissolved the art programs and there's yeah. no funding for this or that and music programs. So had I made the decision to be a music teacher, I'd be probably even more poor than being an auto detailer.
Right. Well, you know, it's kind of funny you tell that story about the camp counselor or the camp teacher or whatever sitting around the fire and playing and then everybody going quiet. Like, you know, to me, I had a very similar experience at Gloss mm-hmm. University last year with you when we went to the little restaurant and you picked up the guitar and started messing around with it, and then like, dude, the room went quiet, Maddie's playing and singing, people are singing along with them. Like,
how cool was that,
dude? It was awesome.
That was a special night for all of us there, and I mean that I'll never forget that night, you know. And I mean, even just the history that was in that building that we were all in,
yeah,
and the vibe and the feeling, like there was an emotion there that you can't buy or replicate. You know what I mean? It was just like,
yeah, you can't, there was an energy. Yeah, it definitely. And I'll be honest with you, like, had you not picked up that guitar and started playing, I don't think the energy would have been there. I don't think it would have been kind of the same night.
Dude, so I'm
going to give you 100% credit on that one, man. Like,
thanks, brother.
Yeah.
Yeah. And well, then that, and the host, you know, like I remember asking him, cause I was like, I'm like, man, this room's got good acoustics, and I'm looking at him and I'm like, yeah. do you mind? I'm like, would it be okay? Would it be accepted if I played your Martin guitar?
Yeah.
And the guy, and I forget the gentleman's name, but he legitimately thought about it for a second. He's kind of like, should I let this guy play the guitar?
Yeah. You know? He didn't know. Yeah.
Yeah. He didn't immediately say yes. And then he was like, yeah, you can play it, you know, like, just be careful, you know. And I normally don't like Martin guitars. Like, they're more of a flat picker because I play a lot of rhythm and lead, but okay. that Martin guitars are not often, let's say, user friendly.
Okay.
Like they can be challenging to play. And I remember.
It's interesting because I've never played a Martin, but you know, it's got a name, you know, I mean, it's they're wonderful guitars and they're,
yep.
you know, some of the most revered kind of acoustic guitars out there or whatever.
Yes.
That's kind of interesting. Cause
it is. Yeah, it really is. Martin guitars are generally known for like flat picking, playing in first position.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I do a lot of that, but I also play lead guitar too. And yeah. So like a Martin guitar isn't very forgiving when you get north of the 12th fret.
Yeah.
And that guitar was, you know, it's like,
that's cool.
Sometimes that's how it works, you know?
Yeah. But, And then also kind of then the segue is, you know, like you said, you're thinking about being a teacher or, you know, a music teacher, but now you've kind of gone into the Gloss University thing and being a, you know, helping people learn detailing, not only with Gloss University, but I know you do it, you know, on your own and things like that. So, I mean,
yes,
you kind of did follow that path. And
it's a great way. It's a great, it is like, I did kind of follow that path, like non-traditionally,
yeah,
if you will. Right. And, yeah. And now I'm able to kind of give back a little bit of that. And I, you know, I think with the auto detailing stuff, especially as an, you know, being an instructor and trying to educate people, I think some of my ability to adapt and reframe the way I might teach something comes from the music world, honestly.
Yeah.
Right. Because like as a musician, like, you know, I mean, that's, I've spent, you know, I've been playing the guitar for 26, 27 years. I've spent a lot of time, you know, developing that craft. It's taken this, you know, that right. long to get to where I am, but there is also an ability where you're improvising a little bit. Right, yeah. Where you're hearing things and you're kind of making it up as you go along. And that's not something you can often teach people. That kind of comes with time.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that...
There's a chord progression that you usually have to stay within.
Yeah, yeah.
But as long as you stay within it, you can be all over it.
Sure, sure. No, and it's a great point. And the truth be told is like, you know, and that's... in. As we kind of segue into the training stuff, there's so, you know, nowadays there's so many auto detail trainings, which again, I support, like, I think it's great. Yeah. Like the industry helps bring people up, but you know, a lot of it is redundant information, which again, necessarily isn't bad, but you know, you attended a Gloss University training and that's a different experience. And it's, and I think that kind of being able to get an individual to understand or possibly reframe the way,
yeah,
I might understand it to get somebody else to understand it is really where the lesson lies. You know what I mean? And I think that's part of being an instructor is kind of like, okay, I'm going to explain it to you like this. And then they don't get it. And you're like, okay, I have to break it down and explain it a different way now. How am I going to do that? You know? And so, that's tricky.
Yeah.
It's not an easy thing to do. So, I do think that part of my craft or my skills in doing that does kind of come and stem from playing music, you know?
Yeah. That's
so I hope I can continue to do it, you know, forever and at a capacity, right? Cause it's all balance.
Yeah.
Right. Like you could get burnt out doing anything. Right.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's, so it's like, you know, work break. And I eventually, Alex, I want to write a book called How Detailing Saved My Life.
Oh, nice.
I think I want to get into that. Just, I mean, especially just creating like a work-life balance that didn't exist before this, you know?
That's awesome. Yeah.
And there's a lot of truth to that. So, you know, I love what I do and I feel I excel at it. You know, there's days that it's a struggle, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause it's still work.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's still work, but at least I'm having fun.
No, that's awesome, man. And listen, man, I wish you all the best with writing a book because as a published author, little known fact, not a lot of people know that.
Nice.
I wrote a book. And
I didn't know this. Or if I did know it, I did forget it.
I don't think you knew it because I haven't talked. I don't think I've talked about it on the podcast, but Yeah, I wrote a children's book.
Dude, that's super cool.
It's I think it's still available on Amazon. It's called it's called Sydney versus the Tigers.
Super cool.
I'll send you a pic of it. I essentially it's a story I wrote for Haley.
Okay.
And I had a buddy of mine who's an illustrator illustrate it. And it all stemmed from when Haley was like, I don't know, 2, 3.
So this is I mean, a little while ago.
Yeah, right? This is a hot minute ago. You know, 10 years or so.
I was gonna say 10 years.
Yeah. So we have the Central Florida Zoo is like a couple of miles from us, and we would do the annual pass because it's cheap. I mean, it's not a big fancy zoo or anything like that, you know.
Sure.
And so I would take her there when I was working at the wash. I usually had Sundays and Mondays off, and Michelle worked Monday through Friday. So usually on Mondays, I'd take Haley to the zoo, and we'd go and just, you know, walk around, look at the animals and whatnot. And it was funny, you know, of course, being Florida and oak trees and squirrels and stuff like that. Now, they didn't have a tiger.
Okay.
You know, a tiger exhibit or whatever, but they had cheetahs. Yeah,
super
cheetahs.
Cool.
Cheetahs or leopards, you know. Yep. Something spotted like that. Another yep. big cat or whatever.
Another big cat, yeah.
Yeah, something yeah, like you that. Know, and their enclosure was kind of just on the ground. So there was
sure.
plenty of sure. oak trees, plenty of ground. And I remember one day we were sitting, you know, me and Haley were at the thing just kind of watching, and I was like, I saw this little squirrel run down a tree, you know, to grab some nuts. And I was like, I wonder how that works with these big cats.
Sure.
And sure enough, as I'm thinking that, this big cat spotted that squirrel and game on.
Dude, that's super cool.
And the squirrel zipped up the tree. And, you know, because cats can obviously climb trees and they don't want the cats getting out so far up the trees, they had these big metal bands. So the cats could climb somewhat up the tree, but not all the way.
Sure. Sure.
The squirrel
sure.
was able to get past that somehow. So the squirrel's like up in the tree. The big cat runs up the tree as far as he can. And I was like, you got to be shitting me. So it sparked an idea. You know, I was always a big, big fan of Shere Khan. From the, you know, the Jungle Book.
Sure.
From Disney and everything. I love the tigers. At the time, Haley was all about Tigger and Pooh. So I decided to make it a story about tigers instead of the cheetah or whatever. Mm-hmm. And essentially the long story short is it's a story about a squirrel who lives in the zoo, but he lives in the tiger enclosure. And all he wants to do is just, you know, collect his nuts, but the tigers are always trying to eat them. So he goes around.
I love the story.
He goes around and visits his friends in the zoo and comes up with this plan, you know, to be able to distract the tigers with a fake, you know, with a decoy, mm-hmm. so that he can gather up his nuts and get up the tree and everything. And yeah. So, I mean, I did that, and man, I'll tell you what, you know, I sent it around to I had a friend who actually worked for Scholastic.
Okay, of course, books, yeah.
And she loved it, you know. So she took it in, and the one thing that I learned with children's books is if you are not a well-known children's author, it is almost impossible sure. to get a book done.
Yeah.
So I self-published it through one of these like self-published things that was actually owned by Amazon. So it was sold on Amazon. You know, we sold, I don't know, 20, 30 copies maybe or something like that. You know, it was never anything that I thought like, you know, I would retire off of, but it was something that I wrote for Haley.
Yeah, and she was in the cap.
Right. And we would read it to her, you know, or tell her the story or whatever. And the guy who illustrated it was, you know, he did a fantastic job with it. So yeah, man, I mean, if you can write a book, man, it's.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff coming down the pipe. There's a lot of stuff that I'm working on behind the scenes. And
that's awesome, man.
And it's, you know, I, I used to say this in my sales job, and I still say it today. It's like good things take time and bad things happen fast.
Yep.
You know, it's like you work so hard on stuff and building something, and it takes
Seems like forever. Yeah.
You know, I mean, years of dedication and some, and but you still got to do it anyways, you know, and what you work hard for, someone could take away for you in an instant. And
oh, absolutely.
It's just, like, it's just a reality thing. So,
yeah.
You know, there's that, that's super cool. I, the book thing is something that I want to do more of, and the teaching and consulting and stuff is something I want to kind of grow into. But, you know, my love is for auto detailing, but I'm also, you know, I turned 41 in April, and I'm, you know, I work hard and I move around a lot. My body's aching and stuff. And so I know I can't do this forever.
Yeah.
And I want to be able to do it as long as I can. So I also need to be mindful on how, on my pace, right?
Yeah.
Like running like a marathon, right? Like if I run too fast, I'm going to collapse.
It's not a sprint; it's a marathon. You want to be able to pace it out exactly.
So I'm having, you know, growing pains with that, like any business, any small business encounters. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm excited for this detailing season, just because there's a lot of cool projects on the docket. I've been doing a ton of Teslas lately. Everyone's like, "Oh, you're the Tesla guy now," and I'm like, "No, I'm like, I got a customer that's got a fleet of Teslas that wants to get done." Like, nice. So it's just the way the schedule's kind of worked out. But there's a lot of fun stuff coming down the pipe. So
that's cool, man. Well, listen, one last thing I want to touch on before you go, because I know it's almost dinner time for you.
Yeah, I know we like these. I always say when we do these podcasts, we end up going an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah, right? A few over or whatever. But what I wanna kind of bring to the attention or ask is, how did the Maddie and Kilmer relationship happen? And then how did you guys jump into the internet or the Instagram series, I guess, because it was more of an Instagram thing than a podcast, right? Where you guys did the Coffee with Kilmer, which now you guys have turned into a full-on podcast, and you've changed the name to Driven by the Details.
Yeah, Driven by the Details.
Yep. Yeah, available everywhere. You guys go listen to it. These guys are awesome. So, like, how did that whole relationship start, and then how did that, you know, hey, let's do Coffee with Kilmer, and then hey, let's turn it into a podcast.
Dude, it's a super cool story. You know, meeting Kilmer was just maybe a chance and a fluke with the universe aligning us together. But, you know, at the time when I started my business, I think I joined Instagram for the first time at like the end of 2018. It was like the fall of 2018 is when I signed up for Instagram.
Wow.
And so I like, you know, like locally people knew who I was, but like, you know, nobody knew who I was globally or nationally.
Right.
You know, prior to even me starting Instagram page. But, when I started my small business, I started growing quickly because of my background, my history. I already had contacts, and, how I met Kilmer, right. I've been wet sanding for a long time. Okay. But unfortunately, most of my wet sanding is not like Kilmer sanding, where Kilmer's sanding whole cars.
Right.
And I have a gentleman that lives in the neighborhood. He's retired. He's in his 80s, and he's a Corvette collector. And he stopped by to visit me one day, and he's like, "Hey," he's like, "you know, can you color sand and buff?" And I was like, "Yeah, of course." And he's like, "I want you to do my Corvette." And so I'm like, "All right, well, let's go take a look at it." So went down to his house. You know, I mean, he lives a block and a half away from me, and I'm looking, I'm like, "Butch, this that looks really good." He's like, "No, I want you to sand all the texture out of the sides." I was like, "Oh, you know, like, okay, like, you know, like, yeah, I know I could do this, but like, I've never done a whole car like that before,
you know?
So that's what set the, like, kind of lit the fuse for me to reach out to Kilmer, because I worked out a price with a guy, which, and you know, I took on this job, and I knew I had the confidence to do it, but I wanted to kind of just essentially run my
reassure.
I'm like, I just want to check, like, consult with somebody that was going
to. Right. I'm gonna do it like this, and then like this, and then like this. I just want somebody else to tell me that I'm doing it right. No, I listen.
Yeah, I wonder if I can go back and find that first message I sent to Kilmer. But essentially, I reached out to Jason.
Yeah.
And I said, Jason, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do that. And by the way, I'm using this with this machine and this tool. And like, Kilmer's response was something to the tune of like, that's exactly what I would do, and those are the exact products I would use. You know what I mean? Nice. So like it was something like that, where we're instantly connected because of that. Like it, right. It was like the same.
You just become best friends.
Yeah, it was like the same. Yeah. It was like the same theme that was, you know, that was taking place. So coincidentally, shortly after that, this would have been February of 2020, right before the pandemic started. And that's when I did the job. I think I did the job like Valentine's Day, like middle of February of 2020. And shortly at the end of February, Kilmer was going to be in town at Chicago Auto Pros for a training.
Okay.
And so I was supposed to actually be out of town for a snowmobile trip, but the snow had melted and I had to cancel the trip because it was just conditions were poor.
Yeah.
So I called Greg from Chicago Auto Pros because I have a pre-existing relationship with him. And I was like, Greg, I'm in town now. Can I come to the training at Auto Pros? And he goes, Matt, he's like, I'm really sorry. We're at capacity. And he's like, if I let you in, it might look bad. He goes, but I'll tell you what, why don't you just stop by at the end of the day when training's done and have beers and pizza with us? And I was like, even better. You know what I mean? And so I ended up, Chicago Auto Pros is only like, I think 13 or 14 miles straight south of me. So
okay.
I hopped in the car, went down to Chicago Auto Pros, you know, after the training was done, and ran into some people that I, you know, had known and talking to them. And before you know it, Kilmer comes busting in the room and he's like, Maddie, you know, like it was really cool that in that moment I was there to see Kilmer, and he actually like came and found me in the room and, you know, was approached me with enthusiasm and stuff right. like that. And we started talking right away, and it was literally not even 60 seconds of talking to Jason. He's like, let's go in the back and sand. Like, I mean, he said it just like that. Like, let's go. Like, I'm like, okay, let's go start sanding. Like, it's after hours and they were in the back still screwing around. And so Kilmer and I start BS and chit chat and this and that. And while we were in the back, you know, screwing around on this test hood, Kilmer had missed his shuttle back to the hotel that he was staying at. Okay. And he didn't have a ride back. And I was like, I'm like, Kilmer, I'll drive you, you know? So he ends up hopping in the car and we ended up going over to the hotel he was staying at and having a cocktail at the hotel. And just, I was telling him a lot about the training program that I had been working on and some of the stuff. And, you know, we hit it off. You know what I mean? Like there was a lot of similarities.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Kilmer on his end, he tells it that like, he also needed a ride to the airport.
Yeah,
Kilmer's like, hey, do you think you could drive me to the airport? And I agreed to do it before I knew what time the flight was.
Right, right.
His flight was like
super early or something.
Yeah, it was like 5 or 6 a.m. So, I mean, like I had to be up at like 3 or 4 a.m., you know, which logistically, you know, his hotel was just a couple miles away. And O'Hare Airport's just like 8 miles to the east of us. So,
okay.
It worked out. But like, I remember that day, Kilmer tells it. He's like, he goes, you know, I just met you like the day before. And he's like, I've met a lot of people that don't always, you know, follow through. And he had said that he, when I agreed to take him to the airport, he had, before I showed up at the hotel to pick him up, he had like already pre-loaded an Uber in case I just didn't show up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then he would like, and so I think that's, you know, like, again, you know, accountability, credibility. Like I said, I was going to do it and I did it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I think that, that kind of resonated with Kilmer, like, man, this guy, Matt, like, you know, he says, like, if he says he's going to do something, he's going to do it.
Yeah.
And so that's where our relationship was born. And then we ended up shortly after that summer, my friend Anthony that owns Chicago Auto Recon, he has been working on building a high school program for the Benito Juarez High School Academy.
Uh-huh.
And we were trying to get this program off the ground. And that's when we did our very first training. We had hired Kilmer to come in and do the class. It was Jason Kilmer, myself, and Clint Hintz. And at the time, Clint was with Buff and Shine. And then my friend Ruben, the interior, the Kilmer calls him the Michael Jordans of interior. So those were the four instructors for the very first class. And kind of how the whole Coffee with Kilmer thing got started on Instagram is that day, there was a lot of stuff that we did on the fly for that class. I think we had 11 or 12 students. Okay. But that morning, we were really just like kind of talk, like over coffee, we were talking about the lesson plan.
Right.
And I had said, I'm like, oh, this Coffee with Kilmer, right? I'm like,
yeah.
And at that point, we were like, that name sounds kind of cool, Coffee with Kilmer. Like, there's a cool little jingle to that. And so after that training, later that year, Kilmer and I started hopping on Instagram to do, like, you know, our sessions of live Instagram where we would just kind of talk about current events, like what we were doing, what projects we were up to. And then we would open up the second half of the thing to questions. People would engage on Instagram. And so we had a lot of fun doing that. And we decided to take that whole format more mainstream.
Right.
And we wanted to change the name. And the woman that I work with that does some of my branding and design, she's like, she was the one that kind of encouraged me to change the name to Driven by Details versus Coffee with Kilmer, because it kind of would give us more opportunities to evolve and grow.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And bring in other people where it wasn't just so like this Coffee with Kilmer thing. Cause a lot of people know who Jason Kilmer are, but as we grow,
right,
the Coffee with Kilmer kind of only it's not as tangible as something like Driven by Details.
Yeah. You know? And I think, like you said to me, like, it's, you know, it didn't have the word detail in it or whatever. So how is somebody supposed to know that it's a detailing podcast? You know, you might get the Starbucks guy that's like, oh, here's another wonderful coffee podcast. Let me
do it.
Coffee. Yeah.
Well, and I mean, anybody that knows Kilmer, I mean, Kilmer is a coffee fiend. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's just like, it's the coffee part's cool. And I think we talked about trying to like keep the Coffee with Kilmer on Instagram. Maybe we should do a few of those here and there, but you know, we're busy. I mean, Jason's busy making sanding blocks and you know, everybody's got a lot of stuff going on. And so it's hard, you know. We're having fun doing the podcast. We've launched our first episode in the fall of 2022. And I think we have 16 episodes up now, Driven by Details on Spotify and the Apple Podcast. So
you guys once a week, or,
you know, I think originally we set out to do once a week podcasts, and I think that is still going to be our goal, but just we're also realizing that the time change between Jason's time and my time and his schedule and my schedule will probably end up falling on, you know, at least either once a month or twice a month where we'll have podcasts, you know. Yeah. So we're still trying to figure out that rhythm, because it's still green for us. You know what I mean? Although, like,
I mean,
talking about stuff is
not green. I mean, honestly, if you guys, you know, could hammer out, you know, maybe a few hours of scheduled time, you know, and you guys record two or three of them at a time, that way you've got, you know, loaded up that, you know, if you miss a week or something, the guys can't get together, at least you got one loaded up. And that's what some people have kind of told me. I mean, we do the two a week, and you know, sometimes it's a bit much, and sometimes I need a break, and it's like, you know, sorry, there's just not going to be one this week.
Yeah.
Some people are like, why don't you just, you know, record a couple, you know? And I've always kind of been like, well, I don't miss that many weeks, so like I might record something today.
Right.
And it might not have to use it for 6 months. And then, you know, like it might not be right because we might talk about something that's going on now. And then, you know, it doesn't get played for 6 months. So I'm just always like at that point, like, look, I'm taking a break.
Makes sense. Cheers for you, dude. I mean, congratulations. I mean, I've watched your commitment to the podcast, and I applaud you for seeing it through. You know what I mean? For better or for worse, like, you know, it's, and I think you guys are doing a great job.
Thank you.
But behind the scenes, right, it's still work.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Like you have to carve out the time.
Listen, man, I called Jason, no lie, I called Jason probably 10 times yesterday, because like it would be this, hey, can you help me do this? Or, you know, hey, because he's the one that made the link tree for us. And I noticed that the Instagram wasn't on the link tree. And I was like, hey, I don't know how to do the link tree because you set it up. Can you put the Instagram on there? And then he's like, yeah. And I hang up, and then I call him back like 20 minutes later, and I'm like, hey, man, so, you know, the Manscaped guy sent us a letter. Oh, that's great. You know, he's with a skincare company now. What do you think? And he's like, I don't know. Let's, you know, figure it out. See what he has to say. And I'm like, okay, cool. And then, yeah, dude, so,
that's hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, there's it's a lot of, you know, it's kind of the duck on top of the water versus under the water sometimes. I mean, sometimes, you know, looking at it, you know, it might just seem like, hey, we're doing a podcast and everything's running smooth, and behind the scenes, like, our legs are just like, going as fast as they can, dude.
Well, how do we both end up with doing a podcast with someone named Jason?
Yeah, that's
because when you first said Jason, I was like, wait, you were talking to Cameron? I'm like, oh, wait,
yeah,
Jason.
Bruno, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it's too funny. No, yeah. I mean, look, anything,
Jason's a popular name, I guess.
Anything good takes time, and anything worth doing, you got to see it through. So, yeah, I mean, I know our podcast is going to evolve as yours. It just, time goes by, things change. It just kind of evolves. So, I guess in the short, Kilmer and I are still trying to find our stride.
Right.
Because, I mean, in theory, like November, December, January, February, March, we're basically 5 months old with the Journal High Details podcast.
And listen, man, in your 16 episodes in, I mean, like, if I were to go back and listen to my first 16 episodes, like, mm-hmm. I would have probably quit. You know, it takes time to find your voice.
Correct.
And to find what works, mm-hmm. you know, and it's one of those things that, you know, I don't think about it too much because I make a decision and I make it happen. But when I talk to people and they're like, man, you know, like, I go back and I listen to the beginning ones, and then I see how you changed it to this, you know, and then you started getting popular enough that you started getting sponsorship, and now it's cool to see that sponsorship, and you know, now you're doing the YouTube thing, and now, you know, it's just a constant evolution. We're always trying to go that one step better. And sometimes, to me, it's just natural progression. And it takes somebody else on the outside going like, hey, it's cool that you did that. And it's cool how you did that. And it's cool how you did that for me to kind of realize, like, oh shit. Yeah. We have changed a lot in, I mean, you're 16 episodes. I think I think this episode with you will be 230 for me.
So so as we get close to kind of wrapping up the episode today, don't you think that that's a good lesson, or like a good example of almost like how it's relative to even detailing business, right? Like, you start out with an idea, and this idea works for so long, and then, you know, you onboard different challenges and different, you know, ideas, and before you know it, a couple years pass, and it's like it's in a different format than what it originally set out to be, you know.
Exactly.
And I, not that that's bad, I think that that's good, you know. And that, you know, Noxie is the one that is always saying, you know, the detailers, the best thing they could do is adapt.
Yeah.
And I think, like, as you know, change is the one true constant, right? And it's a thing you can't fight. It's gonna happen no matter what, so embrace it. You know, and make it work. You know what I mean? So I love seeing, you know, you guys get more involved and what you guys are doing with all that stuff. And I think overall, you know, take it for what it is. You know, it really helps build up the detailing community, you know?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, whatever I can. Listen, Matt, I know it's getting ready to ring the dinner bell there for you here in a minute.
Yeah, how long we've been on for here today?
So we've been on a minute or an hour and 28, but really the first 5 minutes was the countdown. So,
that's probably an hour and 20 something minutes. That's almost a 90 minute. That should be fun.
If somebody wants to reach out to you, if they want to ask a question about whatever, if they want to learn about trainings, what's the best way for somebody to reach out to you? How do they find you?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, mattswax.com. That's a pretty easy website to remember. Additionally, you can follow us on the Driven by Details podcast. I think on Instagram, my Instagram handle is mats_wax, and it's Driven by Details podcast. That'll pop up. But also check out the Gloss University website, which is also going to get a facelift this year.
Nice.
We're revamping the Gloss University webpage, and you'll see a new format of that before 2023 ends. So, I mean, if someone wants to reach out to me, Instagram is probably the best way.
Gotcha.
And my website, because I have my website on mattswax.com. It's got all my information for you know, submission request forms and all that type of stuff. So and that's a pretty easy one.
Yeah, and then we've been pushing the April and the September and October dates for Gloss University, but there's other. Have you announced those yet? Do you want to shout
out? So I believe right now we're the last weekend in July is targeted for the Ring Brothers class, and we're also working on a date in August in Ohio with PDP. So that would be kind of the remainder of this year. And I think we should have actually announcements of that stuff coming in the next, you know, couple of weeks. So we're also learning and adapting and kind of growing and making some changes along the way.
Right.
So it's, you know, and like I said before, everything good takes time. But yeah, dude, this is great. I appreciate you having me on today. I look forward to doing another one of these in the future. Maybe next time, maybe we'll do like a double. We can get the two Jasons. We'll get Kilmer on.
We'll listen, like
Jason, and
listen. Matt, I don't know if you've forgotten, because I need to reach out to you guys. But I believe next Wednesday, the 29th, we're supposed to have you and Kilmer and David on to do a Gloss U.
I don't know if there's any way we can push that back. I know next week, the Wednesday, the 29th, I can't do it.
You can't do it. Okay.
I won't be available next Wednesday.
Then we will. I know when I sent you guys the text message, you and Dave were like, yeah, possibly, and never heard from Kilmer. So I don't know if he got the message or not.
Sure.
But yeah, we'll have to push it then. But yeah, definitely. And
yeah, we should get the whole crew, get Noxie on and get, you know, and have like a.
Dude, I'm not even going to try to get Noxie on.
No, I know. He's super busy.
It's not even that, dude. He'll go, yeah, man, let's do it. And then at like 7:30, he'll send me a text message. Oh, I can't make it.
Yeah.
He does that all the time.
Well, and you got it. You know, you got it. Noxie is he's super busy with all the stuff that he's got going on with the History Channel and then keeping his business going. So
yeah,
I applaud him for managing all that stuff, too, because it's a lot. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's a lot. So, you know, I think
we could do it with you and Dave and Kilmer and then Bruno.
Yeah.
Bruno would be here as well. So we could still have the two Jasons.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. There's a kind of a little reprieve now. It's like a little like the dust is settling before it gets crazy again for the rest of the year. So this would be a good time to do it. But
yeah,
let's definitely make it happen, brother.
Yeah, definitely, man. Well, listen, I appreciate you coming on, man. I know you've been on a few times. People are obviously gonna, you know, recognize you from being on before. But
sure,
you know, like I told you, we've had you on before, but we've never done a Maddie episode. You know, we've never heard your story and, you know, and everything like that.
Yeah, I kept it short. I don't want to bore everybody. And if you want to know more specifically about the background, you can check it out on episode 2 on the Driven by Details podcast.
Exactly. And now I can go back and listen to that, because like I told you before, I purposely didn't listen to it, because I'm one that if I don't know the person, I don't want to know anything about them
before
I do the podcast, because then I'm learning and asking the questions without already kind of knowing of it. So,
dude, I love it, man. Well, Alex, great job. Keep up the good work, dude. I appreciate all your efforts and everything that you're doing. Love the podcast, and I'm happy to be here tonight. So look forward to doing more of these with you in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, listen, man, go have dinner. Enjoy your vacation that you're going on tomorrow.
You betcha.
We'll chat with you back. I appreciate it, Matt.
All right. Take care, brother.
Thanks, man.
All right. Bye. All right. Bye-bye.
All right. And so we went kind of long with Maddie, so I'm going to run the Auto Fiber ad right now, and then we'll be back to kind of close it out. Sometimes as detailers, we forget that our favorite products have a life in the world outside of detailing. For instance, during the holidays, I went to the Apple store to buy the wife a gift. I was wearing my favorite Auto Fiber shirt, not thinking anything of it, when the Apple genius or nerd or whatever they're called looks at me and goes, "Hey man, I love Auto Fiber." Got off guard and looking down at my shirt, I realize and I tell him, "Yeah, they're amazing towels." As we're waiting for my purchase to be brought from the back, he told me he uses them when he washes his car and tells me some of his favorite towels, like the Mother Fluffer drying towel or the Detailer's Delight Quick Detailer Wipe Towel. And I told him, "Hey, next time you go to autofiber.com, make sure you use the code DSP and you'll save 10% off your purchase. He thanked me and wished me Merry Christmas, and like Santa Claus, I was out of sight. All right, everybody. So that was Matthew Arndt. I met Matty first, I think back when we did the original Gloss University crazy mayhem podcast with like a million people on it. And then I met him in person at Gloss University when I went last year with the Ring Brothers. And he's just as genuine as he is anywhere you see him. He's a good dude. Super knowledgeable, super friendly, easy to talk to. And that's why we love Matty. So that's kind of the closeout. I appreciate everybody listening so far. Please don't forget to go like, share, follow, subscribe, hit the notification button wherever you're listening to us. Give us a 5-star review on Spotify and Apple. And we will see you guys the next time around. Thank you so much. Take care. Bye.